since Russia invaded Ukraine in late February. Over 3 million Ukrainians have fled the country. That's today, as of today, according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. It's one of the fastest developing refugee crises in recent history. Over half those refugees have gone to neighboring Poland. The population of Warsaw, Poland's capital, has increased nearly 20% since the invasion a few weeks ago. Our next guest is in Poland now, where he's helping his parents and other Ukrainian refugees get their bearings. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see Europe do to help Ukrainian refugees? The U.S. is currently allowing Ukrainians who are already in the country to stay for 18 months. Should the U.S. do more? Do you have family or friends in Ukraine or fleeing Ukraine right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Andrei Ivanov is an associate professor of history at UW-Platteville. He specializes in the Soviet Union and Russia. Andrei is joining us from Krakow, Poland. Andrei, thanks a lot for making time for us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me here.
First of all, how are your parents doing now?
They're okay. They're resting. They need a lot of rest.
Can you share their story? They fled Ukraine. You were there in Poland to meet them.
Yes, they escaped out of the capital, Kyiv, right as it was being surrounded from the western side by the Russian troops. They escaped from the area in the northwest suburbs, right outside of Kyiv, and it was a harrowing escape. It was a very difficult journey, and they're not young, obviously, and it's been horrible several days for them. A ride, then a bus, than a refugee train, and a lot of refugee trains going west are flooded, are overwhelmed. The doors don't open because there's just so many people there. They have to wait for a train that can take them in. Then getting to the Polish border and waiting for a train or a bus across Polish border, it's been a very, very difficult and long journey for them.
I'm glad your parents are there and well now. What are you seeing? How many people are showing up in Krakow, where you are now, from Ukraine?
A lot. So Krakow is the largest Polish city that's also closest to the border. So, I mean, Warsaw is the largest city in Poland, but Krakow, among the larger cities, is the one that's closest to the Ukrainian border. And I would say at least 1 million Ukrainians have either passed through Krakow or had stayed here or stayed in the area. So I hear Ukrainian on the streets everywhere. I see Ukrainian people everywhere in Krakow, and it's sort of the city on essentially that's doing most of the processing and welcoming of Ukrainians coming through Przemysl, a town on the border, and then going to other locations in Europe.
This is one of the biggest surges of refugees that I could find fastest in recent memory. What is life like for Ukrainians in Krakow right now?
They're trying to find place to sleep. It's been very hard. I've talked to some colleagues at Jagiellonian University today. I was giving a lecture at the university, and this is really, really sad. I went to a bus station, and people are sleeping on the floor, and it's not heated. And then there's a train station here in Krakow that's an old building of the train station, and in the basement they just set up mattresses and people sleeping on floors and mattresses. It's very hard to find housing. You know, the city of Krakow is 779,000 people. When you have 1 million people coming through Krakow and look for temporary housing or permanent housing, this is very difficult. But the Polish people are very welcoming, and they are opening up their homes and they're opening up their hearts and they're helping and they're feeding. And the students at the university in Krakow here are very active in volunteer work, in help, in finding clothing. A lot of stores, I see things, basic things, pharmacies are empty because they're trying to buy up materials, you know, or medications for the refugees who couldn't take them with them. If you have only an hour to pack up your bags and leave your home, my parents had about a couple hours to leave. What are you going to take? Well, if you forget medication you're taking or something else or some warm clothing, you have to get it here now because you can't go back home. So the volunteers in Krakow are helping the refugees here in every way they can. There's a lot of mobilization of resources here on the ground, and I'm very impressed. Poland is not a wealthy country. It is relatively, I mean, it's relatively okay, but it's not a wealthy country, and they've been pouring their hearts out helping people here.
You mentioned things left behind. I know there have been concerns where some borders require vaccine requirements, a lot of other kinds of documentation. If you left, say, an apartment building just before it was shelled, you might not have grabbed that and you can't go back and get it. Are you seeing problems with any kind of documentation for people as they've had to flee, as you said, on very short notice?
Yes. So people who are coming to Poland or any EU country are not required to show vaccination records if they have lost it or they cannot access the Ukrainian health system database to access their vaccination records. They're not required to show it. I was in Krakow Airport today, and just I talked to some airline workers, and they're saying that they are asking Ukrainians who are trying to make it to the United States, and if they're not accompanied by U.S. citizens, they have to show vaccination papers in order to enter the United States, even if they have U.S. visas, U.S. non-immigrant visas. So the airport workers are asking Ukrainians coming to the United States to show their vaccination papers, because the United States has not waived that requirement, unlike Canada. Canada has waived the vaccination requirement for Ukrainians fleeing to Canada completely, but not United States at the moment. Although there is a sort of a waiver for Ukrainians who are accompanied by U.S. citizens and they have lost their vaccination papers or whatever, they can come in to the United States without that certificate of proof. Yeah.
We're talking to Andrei Ivanov, Associate Professor of History at UW-Platteville. Right now, he's in Krakow, Poland. His parents are refugees from Ukraine. He's met them there, talking to other refugees as well. You could join in if you have a question for Andrei. If you have contacts in Ukraine yourself, people you're worried about, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on what you want to see the U.S. and Europe do to help refugees from Ukraine? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Andrei, I assume people kind of are maybe in a state of shock a little bit of having to flee so quickly. That said, what are people saying about the Russian invasion of Ukraine?
People are very shocked by it. The intensity of it and the brutality. People just do not understand what is Putin trying to achieve by invading Ukraine and bringing such a horrible civilian toll and so much destruction. People just don't understand. It's kind of, people are in a state of shock. It's very hard to sort of rationalize this on many levels. And it's something that also, I should say, was unexpected for a lot of people. It was completely unexpected. The scope, the scale of it, and also the reasons are completely, people are asking, what in the world does Putin want? And why, you know, why is this happening?
As a historian now of Russia and the Soviet Union, from what in Russia's history do you point toward as context to try to help make sense of this invasion?
Well, there are not as many parallels, but we have in sort of in 20th century, for example, there were examples when Soviet Union would invade a country that was getting out of line. For example, Hungary, 1956, the Soviet army invaded Hungary and pounded Budapest, and Imre Nagy, the leader of Hungary, was hoping for the support from the West, was hoping for the support from Britain and France, and the Europeans were at that point involved in the Suez Canal fiasco, and so there was no help coming from the West, and Hungarians pleaded, and there were Hungarian refugees going out to Austria and Western Europe and so on. So there's one sort of parallel here that we see, but there are other, of course, examples like that. This is what a lot of historians would say, sort of Russia's show of muscle or flexing muscle to kind of demonstrate that they have a claim to a certain area in Eastern Europe that where their geopolitical interests must reign supreme. So, historically speaking, there are some parallels, but they're not sort of the best parallels out there.
Andrei Ivanov is with us, associate professor of history at UW-Platteville, specializing in the former Soviet Union and Russia. Right now, he's joining us from Krakow, Poland, to talk about Ukrainian refugees, including his parents. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think the international community should handle a refugee crisis like this? What if anything, do you want to see the U.S. do to help? What do you want to know about what's going on in Ukraine right now and the flow of refugees into Poland? And do you have a personal connection with Ukraine yourself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Andrei Ivanov, associate professor of history at UW-Platteville, specializing in the Soviet Union and Russia. Andrei's joining us right now from Krakow, Poland, where he's involved with efforts to help Ukrainian refugees coming into the city, including his own parents. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question about Ukrainian refugees, what life is like for them in Poland right now. If you have people you're concerned about in Ukraine, let us know. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Andrei, could you talk about your decision to go to Poland to try to meet up with your parents as they made this effort to cross the border? What was that like?
Well, it was it wasn't difficult, of course, buying tickets and flying into Poland logistically. That's fairly easy. There's a nonstop flight from Chicago to Warsaw, thanks to LOT Polish Airlines. But my parents are not young, as I mentioned, and they have my father has a pacemaker and so on, and they need help. So I realized I need to come in here and help them and logistically and look after the housing situation and so on. I also have colleagues at the university here in Krakow, at Jagiellonian University, and I wanted to come here and do as much as I can to help or coordinate or find out what the needs are. So when I go back to Wisconsin, I can tell people who are interested about those needs. And so that's the efforts overall. I mean, I'm not the only one here. I've met countless other Americans who are here helping their relatives, their family members, their friends coming in from Ukraine. Canadians too. I've met Canadians as well. I've met people who are parts of humanitarian groups. They are distributing aid. They're helping setting up camps on the border. They're involved in all kinds of outreach and health, or I should say medical help and so on. So I'm sort of part of this larger wave of people that have been coming to Poland in the recent days and trying to connect to refugees coming across the border.
If people are listening and want to do something to help from where you're sitting, what are the best ways for somebody, say, in Wisconsin to help?
Well, one thing is to contact well-known organizations that if we want to start with people who have no connections to, let's say, Ukrainian diaspora in the United States at all, then there are a number of organizations, including Red Cross, including Caritas, who do excellent work in terms of helping refugees and helping people fleeing Ukraine in general. Of course, one of the best ways to help is so-called people-to-people networks. And those networks are usually found in Ukrainian diaspora or sometimes also Polish diaspora, local churches, local organizations, local cultural venues that have connections. So if, let's say, you have a Ukrainian or Eastern European organization in your area, or a church in your area, they would be most likely already connected to somebody here on the ground in Poland or somebody there on the ground in Ukraine. There's a lot of people-to-people help that's going on. And so there are a number of ways to get involved, from helping well-known international organizations that do provide help to refugees, like Caritas and a Rescue Committee, and and Red Cross to local organizations or people-to-people networks that that do work, carry out work sort of every day and go there and so on. And I should say, on the plane flying from Chicago to Warsaw, I met a lot of those people who are doing people-to-people sort of work. They've had somebody in their neighborhood give them supplies or medical help or money, and they're bringing that over to Ukraine or to Ukrainian border right now, because they know some people and they're sort of it's within there, or they have relatives and so on. So there's a lot of outreach going on right now. So there is actually several ways to help, and also to write to legislators to bring this more to the attention of U.S. government and whatever humanitarian refugee legal status and processing that needs to be done from the side of the United States side. That also is something that's very important that people could get involved with.
Andrei Ivanov is with us, associate professor of history at UW-Platteville in Krakow, Poland, now working with, talking to refugees from Ukraine, including his parents. Andrei, even if the war ended somehow tomorrow, there's still a lot of destruction in Ukraine. What are people thinking about as they think about their hopes to move back home?
Well, a majority of people that I talk to want to move back to their homes. They do not want to sleep on the floor of a Krakow underground train station with rats and no heating. That's pretty much the majority of people want to go back to their homes. As soon as the war is over, people will look forward to that. Now, the homes that they will see are going to be different from the homes before the war. And so Ukraine will need help with rebuilding and reconstruction. The refugee waves that EU is facing right now, or Europe is facing right now, is really the largest wave since 1945. And if Ukraine is going to have the kind of destruction that Europe had after 1945, it's going to take several years to rebuild, and it's going to take efforts similar to Marshall Plan to rebuild and bring Ukraine back, or make Ukraine help Ukraine rebuild itself and bring itself back from the ashes. It's really we don't know how long this war is going to last. The longer it lasts, the more destruction will take place.
Are Ukrainians in Poland right now able to stay in contact with friends, family who are still in Ukraine?
Yes, and a number of European mobile operators and Ukrainian mobile operators have waived roaming fees. And so there's actually an opportunity to call Ukrainians in Poland from Ukraine or from other countries, and the other way around, call to Ukraine. There's a lot of communication going on, and mobile work networks make that easier. And a lot of mobile operators are financially waiving roaming fees and various other access fees for calling to call Ukraine.
Let's bring on a caller. John is with us in Lake Halley. John, hi.
Yeah. I was just curious if there was, if I have an extra room in my house, there was a way to actually house a Ukrainian, house a Ukrainian family.
John, thanks for the call. Andrei, I don't know if we're far enough along the process here. If people like John wanted to offer up a room to Ukrainian refugees in the U.S., do you know if there's ways to do that yet?
I don't know, but this is, thank you, John. This is a very generous offer. If the United States is going to start the process of admitting Ukrainian refugees, this is, of course, always takes time. Canada has sped up the process by offering Ukrainians temporary resident visas. But if the United States is going to open up and bring refugees in a similar manner as, let's say some refugees from Afghanistan were airlifted. If, let's say, something like this happens, then yes, there will be plenty of opportunities for folks to open up their homes. Right now, there is, of course, the ocean that separates the continents. In Poland, the situation is different. And so what John is doing right now, offering his room, is what millions of Polish people are doing right now, offering their rooms in their apartments, in their homes, in their vacation homes or whatever. they're offering their rooms, hotels are offering their rooms to Ukrainians. And the country has taken in, I would say, at least half, if not more, of the entire refugee flow into Europe. So Polish people are doing exactly what John has offered right now. They are saying, please come on in, family, you know, stay with us. And we have a room available. And so that is something that's amazing that I'm seeing in Poland here. And once there is a refugee resettlement program or something like this with the United States government facilitating something like this, yes, then it would be possible to open up homes. I should also mention that the United States does have a smaller program for refugees from Ukraine and former Soviet Union known as Lautenberg or Arlen-Specter Amendment, and that needs to be reauthorized by the Congress every year. And that brings a few thousands of refugees from Ukraine every year. But that program has a very good sort of network of resettlement and support in general. Yeah.
Andre, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Best to your parents and the other refugees you are working with.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Andre Ivanov, Associate Professor of History at UW-Platteville. He specializes in the Soviet Union and Russia. He joined us today from Krakow, Poland, where he's helping his parents and other Ukrainian refugees get their bearings. Follow more of the latest news from Ukraine online at WPR.org. We have stories from our colleagues at NPR bringing us up to date on the latest events there. If you have a personal story to share, a connection with Ukraine, we'd love to hear from you. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Share your story with us. We can pass it on to our news team as well if you are interested in talking to them. Again, email ideas@WPR.org.